is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. President Trump threatens 100% tariffs on Russia. We have the story.
Wichita City Council will get a look at next year's proposed budget today. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Flames roared through an assisted living facility in Fall River, Massachusetts, killing 9 people and trapping residents inside, including some who leaned out of windows and screamed for help. At least 30 people were hurt. A firefighters union says inadequate staffing hindered the response to the blaze and contributed to the death toll, though the mayor criticized that characterization, and the fire chief suggested no number of first responders would have been enough. Meanwhile, several residents who praised firefighters and police for heroic rescue efforts said staff members did little to help.
President Trump is threatening Russia with new penalties and ramping up American weapons sales for Ukraine amid a ceasefire stalemate.
During a meeting with NATO's Secretary General, President Trump again voiced anger at Russian President Vladimir Putin for failing to agree to a ceasefire in Ukraine.
My conversations with him are always very pleasant. They say, isn't that a very lovely conversation? And then the missiles go off that night.
The president says if Russia won't reach a peace deal in 50 days, the U.S. will impose steep secondary tariffs, likely targeting Russia's remaining trading partners. President Trump also agreed to European allies buying billions of dollars in U.S. military equipment like Patriot missile systems to replenish stockpiles quickly being transferred to Ukraine. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
At today's meeting, the Wichita City Council will get a look at next year's proposed budget. Vice Mayor J.V. Johnston tells KNSS News final approval on the budget will come next month.
Still plenty of time for people to have input on the budget. And the big thing is, do we go revenue neutral? Do we do increase of maybe what inflation and new builds? Or do we take the full advantage of valuation increases for property? So right now we're looking at about a half a mil reduction. That's not a lot, but I think it's going in the right direction anyway.
J.B. Johnston commented on Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted of the Morning Show here on KNSS.
Former President Joe Biden rejecting claims his aides used AutoPen without his knowledge in an interview with the New York Times. Fox's Madeline Rivera with more from the nation's capital.
Biden is pushing back, saying, "I was deeply involved. I laid out a strategy how I want to go about these, dealing with pardons and commutations." Republicans, though, say the new information bolsters their argument that Biden's team took executive action without his approval. The New York Times reports the day before President Trump was inaugurated, Biden met with his staff over clemency decisions. While Biden reportedly spoke with his aides, it was his chief of staff, Jeff Zients, who ultimately replied to staff, writing, "I approve the use of AutoPen for the execution of all the following pardons."
The House of Representatives, the Senate, and the Justice Department are investigating the former president's cognitive health during his term. He had granted pardons to many of his family members, including his siblings and his son, Hunter.
An Oklahoma farmer is dead after being attacked by his livestock.
Bradley McMichael was fatally attacked by 2 water buffaloes that he purchased at an auction one day earlier. That's according to a newly released statement from the police department in Jones, Oklahoma, a small rural community outside of Oklahoma City. The farmer suffered deep lacerations after he became trapped in an enclosure with the animals. Water buffalo originate from Southeast Asia and are similar in size to the American bison. An adult can typically weigh more than 1,200 pounds. Tom Graham, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Major League Baseball's All-Star Game is tonight, so we'll preview that coming up in sports.
Thousands of employees across the U.S. federal health agencies received an email Monday. They're fired. That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News Time now, 7:07, 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. Thousands of employees across U.S. federal health agencies received an email Monday. telling them they were out of a job as soon as the close of business. The firings were originally communicated April 1st for most of the included employees, but they had been delayed as a legal battle played out. That culminated in a U.S. Supreme Court decision July 8th that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said in the email means the agency is now permitted to move forward with a portion of its reduction in force.
President Trump focuses on powering the future of technology as he meets with industry leaders today in Pennsylvania.
President Trump and the world's top leaders in energy and artificial intelligence meeting at Pittsburgh's Carnegie Mellon University, highlighting Pennsylvania's potential to lead the AI revolution. The president also joined by the state's new U.S. Senator, Republican Dave McCormick, who says the goal is to harness Pennsylvania's natural resources and workforce to jumpstart the economy and support national security while aligning with President Trump's energy agenda. The event, after major investments in the state, from a partnership between Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel and Amazon data centers. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
A consumer alert for bread sold at Walmart and Kroger.
Lewis Bake Shop artisan-style half loaf produced by Hartford Bakery is being recalled due to potentially containing undeclared hazelnuts. The FDA made the announcement Monday, saying people with a nut allergy or severe sensitivity to hazelnuts run the risk of serious or life-threatening allergic reactions if they consume these products. The bread was distributed to 12 states in the Midwest and South. The voluntary recall was prompted after nearly 900 loaves of bread were found to have the nuts. So far, there have been no reports of major injury or illness to date. Customers who purchased the bread can return it for a full refund. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
Saved by sheer luck, a backpacker who survived nearly 2 weeks in the Australian outback says she's grateful to be alive.
Carolina Vilga survived 11 freezing nights in Australia's harsh bushland, drinking from puddles and sheltering in a cave. The 26-year-old finally stumbled across a road and flagged down a car. Acting Detective Inspector Jessica Sakuro.
It's sheer luck. There's mixed terrain. It can be quite dangerous if you don't know what you're doing or where you are going.
Vilga says her car rolled down a slope. Confused as a result of head injuries, the German backpacker wandered off. She's expressed her gratitude on a police Instagram account. Vilga says she now knows what it means to be part of a community. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Traffic in the Wichita area, traffic volumes getting heavier out there. Watch out for a slowdown southbound I-235, and this is right around West Street down in southwest Wichita. We've got some heavy traffic in that area as well on West Street, so just watch for a slowdown there. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jad Chambers.
And now a look at the Storm Team 12 forecast with meteorologist Ross Jansen. Good morning, Ross.
Well, good Tuesday to you, Steve and Ted. We've got actually a little bit hotter day coming up for us today, and then chances for thunderstorms begin to sneak back into the forecast. Most of the active weather tonight is going to be up in Nebraska and far northern Kansas, but our opportunity for some storms around the Wichita area will be coming late tomorrow night and more likely into Thursday morning that we'll see some noisy weather coming on through. Looks like no severe weather for Wichita or surrounding areas, but we could see some pockets of heavy rainfall. And it's a cold front that's headed this way. Now, I often get teased in summertime, should we call it a cool front because it's not really going to turn cold? Now, we'll leave that up to you. Actually, in meteorology, you know, it's a cold front, warm front, and there's no such thing really as a cool front. So we'll call it a cold front, but that's going to be slipping into the area Wednesday night. And after seeing highs in the mid-90s tomorrow, we'll cool back to mid-80s on Thursday with that chance for some showers and thunderstorms. And then once that pushes on out of here, we quickly start to heat back up by the end of this week, and we will head into the weekend looking at more mid-90s. Of course, we're kind of moving into those dog days of summer, so the forecast probably not all that surprising. I did want to update you, though, on what could become Tropical Storm Dexter. Now, I'm not responsible for coming up with the list of names that gets used every year, and I don't know. Dexter could be forming down there near Florida, but it is forecast to move westward across the Gulf, potentially becoming a tropical storm or a hurricane later on this week, so we'll be watching that too because it's going to be moving west not east. And so it may get a little bit closer to Louisiana or Texas as we approach not just this weekend, but early next week as well. Right now in Wichita, we've got sunshine and 72 degrees. That's your Storm Team 12 forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen.
In meteorology, is there such a thing as a lukewarm front?
There isn't, but I guess I could always ask someone to take into consideration, you know, like a a name change.
Well, how about a tepid front?
There you go.
No. A room temperature front.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we could really increase the list of names.
Get out your thesaurus there and start entertaining us on TV with all these different words, you know, that other people don't.
I like that.
That's okay.
I like that.
Thank you, Russ. We'll check with you tomorrow morning. That is the Storm Team 12 forecast with Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen. 7:13, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And yesterday's high was 90 in Wichita. Today's high is at normal high is about 93. On this date, 37 years ago, 1988, the first Die Hard movie was released.
Oh, what a fun movie.
Very entertaining.
Oh, my gosh. That thing is just, yeah.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Entertaining. That's what a great word.
It was. Birthdays today. Linda Ronstadt's having a birthday. She is 79 years old. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer with a bad case of Parkinson's. In addition to her own stellar career, she's responsible for the formation of the Eagles. Original Eagles, Don Henley, Glenn Frey, Randy Meisner, and Bernie Ledden were all members of her backup group, her backup band. How about that?
How about that?
And birthdays today. See who else we got here for birthdays. How about USD 259 Wichita Public School Superintendent Kelly Bielefeld having a birthday today?
Really?
Also having a birthday down at USD 259, our good friend Susan Ironsman.
Yeah. Susan Ironsman. Like school administration birthday day.
Yeah. Susan Ironsman's having a birthday. She's been a friend and a helper for a long time.
She's been in that position a long time.
She has. She was started out in TV here in town, and she went into the real business world. All right, rude questions. I have a list of rude questions today. Staring made Google's list of the top five is it rude questions. The question is this rude? Number five, is it rude to go into a restaurant an hour before close?
Not an hour.
I don't think so.
No.
Give them time to, give them plenty of time.
Now, once you're under a half hour, I think you're
number four.
Rude.
Is it rude to stare at someone? I would say only if you're stalking that person. You ever have people do that? Shelly and I have it all the time. And people just stare at us like there's something wrong with us.
I'm usually roundly ignored wherever I go.
You got some spaghetti on your face or something? Anyway. Number three, is it rude to invite someone to a bridal shower and not the wedding?
Ooh. I would say that's a yes.
Number two, is it rude to wear sunglasses indoors? Andy Ward. Nobody cares about that. Number one, is it rude to refuse a gift?
Well,
I think so.
You have to put it in context. Depends on why you're refusing it.
What the gift is.
Are you being a jerk, or is there a reason for that?
If it's dog waste in a paper bag, probably don't want it. But anyway, what is it? Is it rude? That's our question for the day.
Well, that's the thing, though. If you want to avoid, refusing a gift, just accept the gift and then re-gift it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's pretty easy. All right, less rude.
Thank one of the friends, all our friends who've responded on Facebook today. When I put on there that this is my anniversary, my start in radio 55 years ago at KWBB. And I'll tell the quick story about how it happened. My good friend now, Chuck Schechter, hired me. And again, I don't know why he hired me. I had no experience. I just had a good smile, I guess. And away we went. He showed me this was at the old KWBB radio. He showed me about four times how to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a board in front of it. It wasn't very complicated. The red was a mic switch. I knew that much. But playing the cartridges and all that, I had no clue. So I had a script. He had a script up there, and he was ready to go. And he said, "Have you seen it enough?" I said, "Well, I'd like to see it one more time." And about 10 seconds before airtime, he says, "You're going to have to do this. I got to go to the can."
Yeah.
He left. He left, and there I was.
There you are.
Sweat dripping all over the copy. There's two times I've had that feeling, that feeling of fear similar to that. One was this, and the other time I was ever in a football game just before kickoff. It was complete. It was frightening. But here we are, 55 years
later. I think it worked out for you.
It worked out. Nothing else I could have done, I don't think. Somebody told me that one time. I was looking for a job, and he said, what are you doing? You belong in radio. Okay, thank you. 718, Steve and Ted, and let's see. Let's take a look at sports this morning now with Ted Woodward, sir.
Yes, tonight is the big Midsummer Classic. The 95th Major League Baseball All-Star Game is tonight. The National League taking on the American League in Atlanta.
It's the Midsummer Classic, the 95th Major League Baseball All-Star Game, tonight at Truist Park, the home of the Atlanta Braves. Third time Atlanta is the host, first time in 25 years. Truist Park, 10 miles northwest of downtown Atlanta, the 26th time Fox is broadcasting the All-Star Game. Pre-game coverage will get underway 7 o'clock Eastern Time, the game 1 hour later. In 94 prior All-Star Games, the American League has won 48 times, the National League 44. There were two ties. The AL won last year and has won 10 of the last 11. The two teams with this year's best regular season records, the Tigers and the Dodgers, each had five players picked for tonight's game. Detroit's Tarek Skubal, the starting pitcher for the American League. Paul Skeens of the Pittsburgh Pirates goes for the National League. Jared Max, Fox News.
Third time Atlanta is hosting the All-Star Game. Three times, three different stadiums. And it's the fifth time the Braves organization has hosted the All-Star Game. First one was in Boston, second one was in Milwaukee, and now three in Atlanta. The Kansas City Royals have four All-Stars on the American League roster tonight. You've got shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. in his second straight All-Star Game. The closer out of the bullpen for the Royals, Carlos Estevez, in his second All-Star Game, but his first with the Royals. The Royals third baseman, Mikel Garcia, is in his first All-Star Game, and Royals pitcher Chris Bubich also making his first All-Star appearance. Four Royals on the American League roster tonight. The starting designated hitter for the American League is a former Royal, Ryan O'Hearn, who they traded to the Baltimore Orioles for cash. Now he's the starting DH in the All-Star Game. There you go. Of course, this game was supposed to be in Atlanta 4 years ago, but Major League Baseball pulled out. Outrage over the Election Integrity Act of 2021. And despite the fact that law is still on the books today, apparently all that outrage was for nothing because 4 years later, baseball is back in Atlanta for the All-Star Game.
Same law still in the books?
Yes, it is. So all that outrage, not sure it manifested. The Major League Baseball draft, the final 17 rounds of the draft were held yesterday. So the Kansas City Royals piled up 17 more draft picks, 15 of the 17 college players. So they weren't hitting the high schools hard. They were hitting the colleges hard. So you look at the Royals draft, 22 players drafted, 16 of them college players, 13 of them pitchers. Among the nine position players the Royals drafted, eight of them bat left-handed.
So really?
Look at a lot of lefties.
Okay.
Those guys manifest in the major leagues for the Kansas City Royals. Also in the draft yesterday, Wichita State junior pitcher Nick Potter was taken in the fifth round by the Houston Astros. Wichita State has now had a player drafted in 45 consecutive years, not counting the very small pandemic draft 2020. But like a shocker is always involved.
Yeah.
A Shocker signee got drafted, too. Left-handed pitcher out of Missouri, Ethan Rogers, was taken in the 18th round by the Detroit Tigers. So now he will have to decide whether he wants to go pro or play for the Shockers. So that's what's going on there. And NBA Summer League action, day 7 yesterday in Las Vegas. Eric Stevenson, former Wichita State basketball player, is with the Miami Heat. He started at guard yesterday, had 8 points and 3 rebounds, made a couple of 3-pointers. Former Shocker Eric Stevenson trying to get a roster spot with the Miami Heat. That's sports with Steve and Ted. Sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with locations east, west, and historic Delano. And that features a rooftop deck there. Wichita Brewing Company. It's pizza and beer made here. And brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center, a safe healing environment with caring employees that fully understand recovery from addiction. Bel Air Recovery Center. They improve the lives they touch.
Keep it here for House Call for Health. A new cancer diagnosis that is connected with obesity is rising in the U.S. That's coming up with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. It's 7:30 on this Tuesday morning. 71 degrees. The Wichita City Council will vote today on whether to place the Crown Uptown Dinner Theater on the historic registry. That would protect the building from the wrecking ball, which the owner favors. Vice Mayor J.V. Johnson tells KNSS News.
It's a classic example of wanting to restore or preserve a historic property versus property rights. So we'll see what happens on that. I voted against it last time, and we'll see what happens this time.
J.V. Johnston commented on Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted of the Morning Show here on KNSS.
Officials in DeSoto in northeast Kansas are celebrating the official opening of the massive Panasonic battery plant. The facility was built on the former Sunflower Army ammunition site. It's expected to provide a massive boost to the local economy. Officials say Panasonic has already invested $4 billion in the massive plant, planning to employ more than 4,000 people, and it's fully operational in several years. On a site that's more than 300 acres in size, it's one of the largest automotive battery plants in the world, producing electric vehicle batteries for some of the biggest car manufacturers, including Tesla, Toyota, and Ford.
Severe thunderstorms caused a flash flooding in New York and New Jersey Monday night.
Parts of New Jersey recovering from severe flooding as thunderstorms dumped heavy rains across the tri-state area Monday night. Plainfield and Scotch Plains in central New Jersey hit hard along Route 22 with portions of the New Jersey Turnpike underwater. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy declaring a state of emergency. Emergency workers helped dozens of people stranded or trapped in their cars. Flash flooding also affecting several major roadways in New York and caused widespread delays on commuter trains and flooded subways. The storms also sparked ground stops at LaGuardia and JFK airports, causing major flight delays. In New York, Sue Guzman, Fox News.
A possible Iranian-linked group has allegedly crowdfunded millions of dollars to assassinate President Donald Trump. Fox's Rich Edson with the story.
They call themselves the Blood Covenant, and they're dangling promises of a major payout to assassinate President Trump. It's unclear whether this group has really raised $40 million. A Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's report says the website appeared earlier this month, just days after a leading Iranian cleric issued a religious edict calling for Trump's assassination. While the connection between the website and the Iranian government is unclear, analysts say there is evidence pointing to Iran. Other analysts note Iran may be desperate after the United States and Israel destroyed much of Iran's defenses, missiles, and nuclear program, and as Iranian leaders debate whether to negotiate with the U.S.
The federal government discovered an Iranian plot to assassinate then-presidential candidate Donald Trump last year.
A Florida man who killed two people outside a bar is scheduled to be executed today.
54-year-old Michael Bernard Bell was convicted in 1995 for the murders of Jimmy West and Tamika Smith. His would be the eighth execution in Florida this year. A ninth one is scheduled for later this month. 25 men have been executed so far in the United States this year. That's equal to last year's total. Florida has executed more people than any other state this year. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Mostly sunny, hot, and humid today. High 93. Will feel more like the upper 90s. A south wind 10 to 20 will cool us off just a little bit. Partly cloudy and warm, 74 tonight. 95 on Wednesday. Partly cloudy and breezy with a good chance of storms after midnight into Thursday morning. That will lead us into a cooler day. Mostly cloudy on Thursday. High 86. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Now clear skies, southeast wind at 5 miles per hour, 71 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:34, Steve and Ted of the Morning here on July 15th, 2025. On this date, 85 years ago in 1940, the tallest man in history, Robert Wadlow, died at the age of 32. At his death, he stood 8 feet 11 inches tall. And weighed nearly 500 pounds. And when he was in kindergarten, Robert was 5'6". By the time he was 18, he was 8'4", wore size 37 shoes. I bet you didn't buy those down at the Florsheim dealers. Oh, man.
Massive human being.
Yeah. I've seen the You've seen the photos of this gentleman. You just, it just got out of hand, you know. 7:34, Steve and Ted of the Morning here on KNSS. It's time for our Tuesday morning visit with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Good morning, sir.
Morning, and as I've heard, also on this day, 55 years ago, Steve, you started broadcasting. Congratulations.
I did.
It's a great anniversary.
Thank you. I thank you. It's been an interesting 55 years. I'll just put
it
that way. And you're probably the most exciting person I've met in all that time.
I'm sure that's not the case.
Except
either,
for maybe Pete Meitzner. I don't know. It's between you two.
You know, you have an anniversary today. Pete Meitzner's birthday was yesterday.
His birthday, yeah.
We celebrated. It was great. Pete's a wonderful commissioner. He's a wonderful community steward, and it was fun to celebrate his birthday in the office yesterday.
All right, very nice. All right, so what's coming up tomorrow? Are you having a meeting tomorrow at the Sedgwick County Commission?
We've got a meeting. Starts at 9 a.m. in the basement of the Ruffin Building at 100 North Broadway. A few things. Actually, to be quite frank, I'm a little grateful for it based on last meeting we had last week. We had a long meeting last week with a lot of really important things we did, primarily the recommended budget. But tomorrow's meeting is relatively short. We do have a proclamation declaring pretrial, probation, and parole supervision week. What that's about is really just celebrating community corrections and all that our corrections staff here locally and across the state does to really help those that are reintegrating back into community. And then we also have a retirement. I think news broke a couple weeks ago that we're going to be making a replacement in the appraiser's office with our appraiser, and that's due to retirement. Mark Clark, the Sedgwick County appraiser, is retiring after 30 years of service here in Sedgwick County. Gotten to know Mark on a rather personal level, just working with him throughout his role as the appraiser. And he's just a fine, wonderful human being, 30 years of service. He's retiring. So we'll recognize him tomorrow and celebrate. We also have an interim county appraiser. So we're doing a national search to hire a new county appraiser. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about budget stuff throughout at some point in this meeting. The manager's recommended budget came out last week, and that's 6 weeks now before we adopt a final budget on August the 20th. So there'll be a lot of chatter at the Sedgwick County Commission on budget and budget ideas and where each commissioner hopes to go in this budget as we plan for 2026. So that should be the recap of the meeting tomorrow. It'll be a good one.
All right. So just talk about the appraiser for a minute. As somebody who spends 30 years in government service. And it seems to me, an impression I have, there seems to be certain people in Washington and helping with the spending priorities and so forth, who think that government people in government service are just a lot of they're just wasteful. They shouldn't even be there. I know I'm being a little overboard on it, but those people are human beings, aren't they? The people who work for government at any level are human beings, and they try to do a good job.
Yeah, and you know what? You're getting to a good point, and I think it's really important that the public differentiates on staff and electeds. I, on a personal level, this is my personal opinion, I have a lot of anxiety when you get electeds that continue to make it a career for 30, 40, 50 years, and they don't have a whole lot of private experience because all they do is run for election and they're running a permanent campaign. I do think there's reason to question that. But you have to also acknowledge, particularly on the local level. Now, everything in Washington, D.C., in my view, is a mess. Personal opinion, but it's a mess. The bureaucracy there is overbloated. It's not functioning as it was once intended. I'm a localist. I care deeply about what happens on the local level. And for Sedgwick County government, we have 3,000 employees. And if you think about what these employees do, upwards of 50% of that is in public safety. So think about the sheriff's office and EMS and 911. And if you begin to think about other things that we do in regards to what we're required to do from the state, so we have a treasurer's office and we have a clerk's office, registered deeds office. We have the elections office. We also have the appraiser's office. And this is required by state statute that we have a local county appraiser that manages the operations of property valuation. And Mark has not been the appraiser, but I believe total, I think he's 8 years, maybe 10 years into the appraiser role, but he's worked in the appraiser's office serving the community for 30 plus years. And what I continue to tell our 3,000 employees at Sedgwick County government, you don't have to be an elected to serve your community, that their vocation, their chosen career path is community service. And so we really, and we do it a lot at the county commission, when we have retirements, and you'll see many of these retirements we have are 20, 30, 40 years. We celebrate these individuals who have made a career of serving our community. So, and Mark Clark is certainly one of those individuals, and we'll celebrate him tomorrow.
All right. Well, then I'm sure that tonight you'll be glued to the television watching the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which is really meaningful, I'm certain to you.
Well, we watch, but my kids love to watch the All-Star Game. I don't get too much into the All-Star games, you know, unless it's a good game. And then I enjoy watching the later innings of a good game. But I also like to celebrate talent. And there's some incredible, incredible big league talent right now that we enjoy watching. Aaron Judge, obviously, Bobby Witt Jr. from the Royals. We follow him very closely. And there's a guy out in L.A., Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani, who, in my view, could be one of the greatest baseball players to ever walk the planet. So my boys are into it. They love to watch. And to be quite honest, I usually nod off about 9 o'clock on the couch. And, the All-Star game will be on, and it'll be on in my house for sure.
As a baby boomer growing up, there were people at the All-Star game. It was a big deal because we didn't get to see most of those guys ever. I mean, I never got to turn on my TV and see Stan Musial play baseball. I never got to see him till the All-Star game. And that was what was really exciting, seeing those guys that we had heard about so much.
Right. And that's the difference with technology today and TV and social media, is it really makes it personal. All these big time stars across all sports, it really personalizes them. So you get to know them on a deeper level and get to watch them play. And obviously we can watch not just Royals games here in Sedgwick County, but we get to watch games from all across the country because of satellite TV and streaming TV. And that's the brand of baseball. The brand of all sports is growing because of that. And you know what else is growing because of that brand and that marketability? Their salaries. If you begin to look, think about what the highest paid player was in the early 90s compared to what the highest paid player was today. I'll tell you, they make more than a county commissioner.
Not by far, yeah. Almost make as much as Steve and Ted do every morning.
Almost, yeah. We're almost there.
Well, you know, when you work this hard, you don't have time to spend money anyway, so why have any, right?
That's a great, great retirement savings. Just work all day long. All you guys do a great job. It's a lot of fun. I'll tell you, invariably, when I jump off the phone here, I'll get 3 or 4 text messages from some of your listeners that either like what I said, didn't like what I said, or wish we would have talked more baseball. But you guys do a great job.
Tom Stoltz was in here last week. We were doing an interview, and he always does a great job. He's
impressive.
He was neatly dressed and very polite to me, so I like that.
You know, Tom obviously is a great county manager. Tom does a great job for us. You should get the guy talking about his police career. Many people know that he was the deputy Wichita police chief for many years, and he was very active during the BTK investigation and all that. So you get Tom Stoltz talking about some of that stuff, and he'll go on for hours and hours, and it's quite interesting.
All right. Hey, listen, thanks for being with us, and we'll check with you again next week. That's Sedgwick County.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
Thank you. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty with Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Coming up, we have a big day ahead for the Wichita City Council. That's what Kirk Seminoff is going to talk about with the Wichita Business Journal update on the way with Steve at 10 in the morning on KNSS.
Not just daily.
Real-time updates.
Not just hourly.
A lot can change in the space of an hour.
We update you minute by minute.
To move so fast, you got to be up on it.
Because news travels faster than before. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump attends an energy and artificial intelligence summit in Pittsburgh today. NVIDIA says there's an agreement to sell computer chips to China.
CEO Jensen Huang says he's received assurances from the Trump administration that the H20 artificial intelligence chip can be sold to Chinese customers after licenses are granted by the Commerce Department. The chips are specially designed for China and will meet U.S. national security concerns.
Fox's Jenny Casola. There's flooding in parts of the Northeast.
We got close to 8 inches of rain in Pennsylvania, 7 inches close in New Jersey, and the second wettest hour on record for New York. So we got over 2 inches of rain in less than an hour.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. The Supreme Court approves mass education department layoffs. America's listening to Fox News.
Wichita's number one talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Steve at 10 in the morning, KNSS 747 here on a Tuesday morning, three big things.
Three.
Wichita City Council will get a look at next year's proposed budget today.
Two.
Police release the name of a pedestrian killed in a hit and run in West Wichita.
One.
President Trump threatens 100% tariffs against Russia and nations that do business with Russia. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Traffic volume's getting heavy out there, and we're starting to see some really heavy traffic backing up in a road construction area. Of course, this affects the ramps from southbound I-135 to eastbound K-96 and northbound I-235 to eastbound K-96. Watch for a slowdown. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny and hot today with a high of 93 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the overnight low 74. Wednesday, sunny and hot. Tomorrow's high up to 96 degrees. Now, a clear sky, southeast wind at 5 miles per hour. Not much breeze out there this morning. 71 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. A positive close on Wall Street Monday.
Stocks kicking off the new trading week higher, with the Nasdaq notching a new record close, even as President Trump said that the U.S. would charge a 30% tariff on goods from the European Union and Mexico beginning August the 1st. Shares of Bitcoin-related stocks like MicroStrategy and Coinbase Global jumped as the world's largest cryptocurrency continues to scale new heights and rising to an all-time high at around $123,000 before paring back. The Dow winners today: Boeing, Goldman Sachs, and Visa. The Dow declined: Chevron, United Health Group, and Procter & Gamble. The Dow rising 88 points, the Nasdaq up 55, S&P 500 up 9. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
A big day ahead for the Wichita City Council. Now the Wichita Business Journal update with editor Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. Let's hope the City Council has its Red Bull at its side today. The council is going to be taking up three major agenda items that will have lasting effects on Wichita business. First, the council will decide whether to put the 100-year-old Crown Uptown Theater on the Wichita Register of Historic Places. Doing that would make it tougher for owner Mike Brown to demolish the building. Brown wants to have demolition as an option after the city denied his application to increase maximum occupancy from 850 to 2,000 people. The Historic Preservation Board and Metropolitan Area Planning Commission have already recommended the register, but the council gets the final say, and three of the seven members have expressed reservations in the past about building owners being kept from doing what they want with their property. The council will also vote on a proposal to issue $21 million in industrial revenue bonds that will enable construction to begin at Town West Mall to create a $41 million industrial park to revive the struggling indoor shopping mall. The bonds would save the developers $500,000 in construction materials and labor, and those developers are also expected to return to the city early next year to request more tax financing help. Finally, the council will make a couple decisions about the proposed Hotel Indigo, which would connect the Petroleum Building and McClellan Hotel Building at Broadway and William into a 119-room hotel downtown. The council will decide whether to set public hearings for the creation of a community improvement district and for adoption of a redevelopment project plan for tax increment financing. The total project cost is estimated at $41 million, and developers are asking for more than $10 million in maximum reimbursement through those two incentives. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
And the thing with the Crown Uptown is it brings up just a basic question that we all have, I guess, and that is, a person has purchased a property, they own it, they're paying taxes on it, they're painting it, and so forth. Do they not have a right to do with it what they please? And there are certain times when a community says, no, we want to preserve this. And this is an interesting argument. I don't know where you come down on it. I kind of come down in the middle of it. I see both sides of this.
I certainly see both sides too. And commissioners, council members Glasscock and Johnston and Mayor Wu are certainly on the owner has rights to his property side. And the other four council people tend to think that you know, historic preservation is more important in this case. You know, there may be some swing votes today that can be had. So it'll be an interesting discussion. Hey, by the way, Steve, I was a little groggy when I was checking Facebook this morning, but I see today is your fifth anniversary in broadcasting. I'm very happy for you in this fifth year of broadcasting. I thought you'd been doing it longer, but I was groggy and it looked like 5 years in broadcasting.
I've heard you're not very good at math. And this seems to support that. It's 55.
55.
It's a long time.
Wow, my fives must have run together.
Yeah. I used to work with things called cart machines. There was tape. If you're out there and you don't know what tape is, it's a little flat thing that winds around these little cartridges about the size of a little bigger than a playing card.
A little bigger than your cell phone.
Yeah. It's a little bigger than your cell phone. And that tape would run through there. It would go across something called a head, which was in this machine. And that head would read what was on there and make it into a signal. And you were brought. It's called a cart machine. And none of them in broadcasting ever worked properly for 55 years. We don't have them anymore. We just have
how far we've come.
These computers. By the way, my computer yesterday, I got to share this. We have a laptop. I have a laptop I use, right? And
yes.
It's got all my information on there. All my show stuff. I come in yesterday. It's a Monday morning. I'm all fired up to go to work. I put it over here on the table. I hit the on button, and nothing happens.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So something's wrong with that. I wiggle the cord, but nothing happens. So I go into the other studio in there, and I put together most of our show. We got enough information. I can put together scripts and whatnot. And I come in here, and I just did this is my fourth time. Finally, I said, I'm going to try one more thing. So I just stood on that button for like 15 seconds, and finally it turned on. I'm becoming a computer genius. You understand that?
Yeah, no, that's hard work on a Monday morning.
Oh, I was stressed. All right. Hey,
Kirk. We got the All-Star game tonight.
Yeah, Kirk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm wearing?
Clemente or Stargell?
It's the old 70s pirate mesh jersey that I think you gave me.
Yes, I believe that's true.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I trotted it out tonight in honor of the late Dave Parker.
Kind of dog-eared. Awesome. Yeah. Kind of dog-eared, kind of ratty there, Ted. You know?
That means it's genuine.
Yeah. It's like the Smithsonian Institute or something. I just wonder what happens one of these days when Ted passes away and his boyhood home there. What's this Kansas City going to do with that? And that's going to be a historic marker, or somebody will want to get rid of it.
Huh? I believe the tear it down option will probably be the overwhelming sentiment of the public.
Or the slumlord will have his way, huh? All right. Hey, Kirk. Hey, thanks for being with us, as always, and we'll check with you again in an hour. Kirk Semenoff with the Wichita Business Journal this morning. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted. Stay with us. We have the latest on President Trump's tariff threat against Russia and its trading partners. Ted has sports, as always.
Yeah, we got we just mentioned the All-Star game tonight in Major League Baseball, so we'll preview that coming up in sports.
And there's entertainment news.
This might be a gold medal edition of the Blur. We've got a lot of, I've been putting together audio that is going to make you amazed and happy.
All right. You guarantee it?
I guarantee it.
All right.
So you don't want to miss it. That'll be at 8:35 this morning.
Plus, we have traffic and weather. Stay with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.